From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today he brings the next portion of a message called Deliverance from Evil to Liberty, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional thought for today is entitled, Over Jordan with Singing. The text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 29. Thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. That arch enemy, the devil, is a liar from the beginning. But he is so very plausible that, like Mother Eve, we are led to believe him. Yet in our experience we shall prove him a liar. He says that we shall fall from grace, dishonor our profession, and perish with the doom of apostates. But trusting in the Lord Jesus, we shall hold on our way and prove that Jesus loses none whom his Father gave him. He tells us that our bread will fail and that we shall starve with our children. Yet the feeder of the ravens has not forgotten us yet, and he will never do so, but will prepare us a table in the presence of our enemies. He whispers that the Lord will not deliver us out of the trial which is looming in the distance, and he threatens that the last ounce will break the camel's back. What a liar he is! For the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. Let him deliver him now, cries the false fiend. But the Lord will silence him by coming to our rescue. He takes great delight in telling us that death will prove too much for us. How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? But there also he shall prove a liar unto us, and we shall pass through the river, singing psalms of glory. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns continues to meditate on the final petition of the Lord's Prayer, "But deliver us from evil." In addition to asking God to protect us from the power of Satan and the evil of the world, in this petition we are beseeching Him to grant us the liberty to serve Him without fear. This involves our knowing the power and fullness of the Holy Spirit. As the Apostle Paul wrote, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns and the ministry of Let the Bible Speak, we wish you and yours a most blessed and joyous Christmas. May the truth of Christ's coming into the world to save sinners be a living reality at this happy time and throughout the coming year. Let us rejoice in Emmanuel, God with us. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, Deliverance from Evil to Liberty.
The book of Galatians is all about justification, but it's all about liberty. They are really not two themes, but two aspects of the one theme. Take the word sanctification. What is sanctification? It's an aspect of liberty. When Paul the Apostle was lamenting the old man, the old inward inclination to sin, and the motions of the flesh that still remain in every unglorified saint, he cried in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's sanctification. That ongoing deliverance from the dominion of sin. That ongoing deliverance from the power of sin. That ongoing experience of the crucifying of the flesh and living in the resurrection power of Christ. That's sanctification, but that is liberty. God has called us to that liberty. As Paul told the Thessalonians, God has saved us, called us, appointed us to what? To holiness. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. This is the will of God. Just as it was not the will of God for Israel in the land of Canaan to be falling down before idols and them to be taken captive by various ungodly heathen nations, so it is not the will of God for born again, blood washed, justified, redeemed people to be falling down before the idols of the world and to be defeated by the lusts of the flesh. It's not the will of God. Sanctification is part of the liberty into which we're called. This is the will of God. Then you think of what the Bible teaches about the freedom and fullness of the Holy Spirit. Those are lovely words in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now you can take that text as a statement of absolute truth. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? Well, you can answer that in various ways, but one way in which you may surely answer it is, he's in every believer. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. It is one of the great teachings of the gospel that the Spirit of God indwells every Christian. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? He's in God's people. We are his temple. This body is called the temple of the Holy Ghost because he abides within it. And when you look at the body of the church, that is the temple of the living God because the Spirit of God abides within it. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There is liberty. There's spiritual fullness and freedom here. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, says Paul. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Exactly what we have in the Lord's Prayer. We're praying, Our Father. That's the prayer that uniquely belongs to people who have the spirit of adoption. We're crying, Abba, Father. We have the freedom so to do. That freedom is to live under the control of the Spirit of God. Let me make it clear to you. Freedom is never anarchy. Anarchy is the worst form of bondage. Freedom is not license. Freedom is not, to use the theological term, antinomianism, where there is no restriction, there is no law. I am sick, sore, and tired of listening to a bunch of egghead Calvinists who have overrun our Reformed churches, and libertine fundamentalists who have taken their dispensationalism to an ungodly extreme, and who are trying to kick over the various standards of holiness, of separation, of personal purity and godliness that have always marked the people of God. I'm tired of these people crying Christian liberty when all the time what they mean is un-Christian license. We've never had more calls for Christian liberty and never a lower standard of holiness in the Christian churches than we have today. I've quoted, I suppose, scores of times the words that were attributed first, I think, to a New Zealand preacher who said, "I looked for the church and I found it in the world, and I looked for the world and I found it in the church." That's certainly very true today. That's not liberty. License is not liberty. "Be not drunk with wine," says Paul, "wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." I'm not going to do a long exposition of that. I have done this in the past. But let me simply sum up the fundamental meaning. When he says, "be filled," he is saying, you must live under the control and the dominion of the Holy Spirit. As a drunk is under the influence of his alcohol, and that's completely off limits for the Christian. I don't want to get off on a tangent in the liberty of so many so-called Reformed people, their liberty to imbibe alcohol. Wonderful liberty to contend for, I must say. How much of that junk does it take to bring you under its influence? How much? According to law, it takes very little before it impairs your driving. I wonder what else it impairs beyond your driving. But you're not to be under its influence. You are to be under the influence of the Spirit of God. When you see the man under the influence of alcohol, it controls him even when he thinks he controls it. He looks at life altogether differently. I mean, we all know of these timid little characters who become lions as soon as they get a load of the devil's booze in them. Now they're strong then. They can do anything. They walk differently, they talk differently, they look at everything differently. Why? Because they're controlled by the booze. Paul says, that's off limits for a Christian. That's out. But you should be under the influence. You should live under the influence, under the dominion of the Spirit of God. And that's liberty. Remember, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Living under His influence. He gives us the liberty to pray. We know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself helpeth our infirmities. He enables us to pray. He enables us to live above fear, frustration, and failure. Remember what Paul wrote to Timothy, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is the ministry of the Spirit in the life of the Christian. I was thinking of that great text in Luke chapter 1, often read at this time of year when men pay such extra attention to the incarnation. Remember in Luke 1, 74, 75, speaking, looking forward to God's purpose through John the Baptist, and then ultimately through Christ, that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness before Him all the days of our life. Having been delivered from our enemies, we have the liberty of the Spirit to serve God without fear, in holiness, all the days of our life. Now, that's not to say that a Christian will never fear, that a Christian will never feel, that a Christian will never feel frustrated. It is to say, however, that a Christian doesn't need to be dominated by those things. It would be good to be perfect. We're not perfect. Not yet. We're still under construction. But nonetheless, God has set before us the realistic ability to live beyond the icy grip of paralyzing dread and fear. God has set before us the realistic ability to live beyond the crippling feeling of frustration that has overrun so many lives. And despite all our weakness and falling, God has ordained it that we should have liberty to live in victory. This is the liberty of the Spirit of God. We could put it another way. That liberty of the Spirit is that we should be fruitful and useful both to God and to man. You think of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit described in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. That's the liberty. That's true liberty. God has made it available for us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening, and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.